No, the factory in Bishop Street.
Yes.
When did they actually build that, or did they buy the property?
Well, what happened was William and Robert Jacob were the two brothers who established the firm. They were a small bakery concern in Waterford, on the quay in Waterford. And in 1851, William Jacob went to England on some sort of a business trip. Now, I suspect it's not said that he visited the Great Industrial Exhibition in Crystal Palace in London in 1851. I suspect that was one of the major reasons why he went there. But he may also have the idea of starting a business in biscuit making already, and he was having a look at some of the companies. For instance, Cars of Carlisle were already in operation. They were all Quakers. Also, Huntley and Palmer in Reading. Now, there's a Reading connection with the Jacobs because Robert Jacob, the second son, was at school in Reading. So he would have known those two Quaker families, the Huntleys and the Palmers, and they started biscuit making in Reading. They're still there, as far as I know. And anyway, William went over, and it said, the family wrote down this at one stage, on his way back to Waterford, he stopped off in Dublin, and he must have been on the lookout for some sort of a premises to move to Dublin to, because he found this old coach builder's yard in Bishop Street, the corner of Bishop Street, I can't remember the name of the street now, the other street. Anyway, and he leased it or bought it almost immediately. So I think there was a predetermined plan to move to Dublin and start the biscuit making concern. And they basically just had this little yard, and then they took over the whole block there, you know, and that was surrounded by four streets.
So they purposely built the factory.
Yes, they did.
To accommodate the biscuit.
They did. Yeah, they did. Now, there's an advertisement from them from Waterford, I think it's about late 1850, where they say, number one, that they have just commenced the production of sweet biscuits. Also, they were moving to a second premises in Waterford on the quay. They were on a different street in Waterford. Now, very shortly after that, they moved to Dublin. So it was a very quick decision made. And I think they saw the potential of it immediately and knew, look, biscuits was basically a new food product, you know, at the time. It's completely new. And I think they saw the success, the spectacular growth of the sales of biscuits in England, and knew that it would take off in Ireland, you know.
Yeah.
And this was in Ireland now, 1850s, you know, coming out of the famine period. A million or so people had died, passed away. Due to famine-related disease, so on, about a million had emigrated. So the population that was left was a little bit more wealthy than the pre-famine population. So there was a little bit more disposable income around. People were beginning to, perhaps, to a certain extent, splash out now and again on luxuries like biscuits, you know. Now, it was also tied in very neatly with the explosion in tea drinking, you know. I mean, tea in the 18th century had been extremely expensive. It came all the way from China, on slow boats from China, heavily taxed. Now, by the 1850s, it was now in production in India, and India was undercutting the prices for tea from China. Also, the East India Company had lost their monopoly of products from India. So tea, and the taxes were raised, or when I say raised, lifted from tea. So the tea was coming down in price all the time, and was spreading from the very upper classes, the big houses and middle classes, to the, you know, lower middle classes, working people. Well, basically the Irish became addicted to tea, as we know, and no better accompaniment than a biscuit. So they were just at the right time, you know, they were just coming into the...
And so right down to the 19th century, It was very successful,
indeed.
And it was a good partnership between Bewley and Jacob.
Yes, yeah, indeed. Now, poor Robert Jacob, the second partner, the younger son, died tragically. He was drowned in Waterford. He went down on a holiday in a freak wave. Himself and his brother-in-law, actually a freak wave. came over the I think it was a cliff, it might have been a terribly high cliff, but anyway, he's washed away into the sea. And they took in then a member of the Bewley family. That was very common. They worked in partnerships, you know, a lot, the Quakers. And then the Bewleys, it wasn't, you know, one of the Bewleys who had the cafes, it was a related Bewley family. And they were there as kind of silent partners all along, more or less up to very recent times, you know.
And so what happened then when, towards the end of the century, that, you know, the expansion and the growth of the factory, the management started to expand as well as the workforce?
Well, it was very much a family concern. They kept it in the family, you know, from father to old William Jacob, then his son, and then grandson, and then in-laws, you know, men who had married daughters and granddaughters, you know. So, in fact, it was a bit of a drawback, in a way, because it was very much a family concern. Instead of maybe keeping company records, it wasn't a company, it hadn't formed a company, it was this sort of loose partnership of relatives. So I think, instead of writing everything down, minutes of board meetings, they just discussed it over dinner, you know, that evening, you know what I mean? So it was a bit of a drawback in the early days. There weren't an awful lot of company records available, you know, it wasn't a company anyway for a long time, you know.